I was preparing for this week, and I was looking back. I always like to look back and see what I might have said last time these passages rolled around and came to my attention as I was going through that process, that the last time we had these scriptures in the lectionary, or last time I preached on them, we were worshiping out in the parking lot. It was in the middle of the pandemic, and I sat there and thought about that for a moment, and you know, what a nightmare that whole thing was. And I suppose we're not entirely 100% past it, but and we had lovely, meaningful worship outside in those days and on that particular day. But oh, how we hoped that we would get back to this, right? And how we cannot take this being together in the worship place for granted ever again. If we read the scriptures carefully, which we do try to do around here, we might notice that God is so often on the move and in pursuit of folks to bless them. Katie mentioned that this is Good Shepherd Sunday, the psalm assigned to the lectionary is the beloved 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That word "follow" in the Hebrew is adaf. It really means to pursue. So you might even conclude that the prevailing narrative throughout the scriptures is of a gracious God in pursuit, determined to bless. From Adam and Eve to Abraham and Sarah, all the way through the many stories in the Gospels of Jesus showing up to bless people. We see this. Somehow, though, the guiding narrative of modern Christian theology so often centers around encouraging, if not demanding, us to muster up the right kind of faith and performing the right kind of actions, that kind of thing. In other words, people tend to understand, if not demand, that they have some control over their relationship with God. This is what this kind of theology, this theological perspective lends itself to. That control often involves some standard of behavior, and we hear it. You know, we hear it even at Lutheran funerals. Oh, she was such a lovely, generous, giving person. I try to be a good person. I go to church. I do my best to help others. And people so often are using this as a way to convince themselves that they've got a place in God's kingdom. The problem, one of several problems with this, I'll call it virtues-based theology, is that in addition to the pipe dream that I am such a good person that God owes me mercy and grace and forgiveness and salvation, the problem is that this virtues-based theology also naturally leads to my applying my standards to other people. Now, I can convince myself I'm in good with God because, well, I may not be perfect, but I'm not as bad as some of the people out there. I'm not as bad as some of the people I read about in the newspaper or see on the evening news. Well, we might call this the original sin. Control is what we're after. And it really always has been. All of this is for you. Just stay out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, huh? God says in the garden. And we say, yeah, we're going to need a bit more control than that. Thank you, though, God Almighty. But sooner or later, our delusions fall apart, they fail us, and sooner or later we find ourselves in the middle of a pandemic with dreams and plans deferred, if not entirely derailed. We find ourselves with an illness, a job loss. Sooner or later, we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of darkness where we are helpless and afraid and not in control. There is something in the human condition that makes it common for us to fear being overtaken by something that is beyond our own control. In our lives, we can feel pursued by many things. By the expectations we face at work, by the unrealistic expectations we may place on ourselves, by time itself, as we age and our own mortality comes into view, by a system built on ancient inequities and arrayed against our very personhood. On Good Friday, we were reminded of Peter's big moment of spontaneous courage, if not recklessness, in John's gospel when he took control. Peter took control. He thought he was taking control, and he stepped between Jesus and the armed Roman guards that were there to arrest Jesus. And Peter drew his sword, and he cut off the right ear of the servant of the high priest. And Peter told Jesus that he would die with Jesus if necessary. And really, that's what could have happened right there in that moment. It was likely to happen. And if it had, we would probably remember Peter differently than we do. Peter would likely be remembered as a fierce and loyal follower of Jesus, militant almost. But Peter's story did not end at the hands of those Roman soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane. We watched as Peter followed the soldiers as they dragged Jesus in front of the high priest. And out there in the courtyard, we watched Peter deny that he even knew Jesus when inquired by a servant girl. Peter was ashamed and humiliated and so disappointed with himself. So all of that is part of what we remember about Peter. And then his Lord is put to death in a state-sanctioned crucifixion, and Peter's denials that he even knew Jesus then at that moment become the last thing that Peter ever did for his Lord. Imagine. And if you could have asked Peter right at that moment, I'm willing to bet that he would have told you that he wished those Roman soldiers had done their job back in the garden when he hacked off the right ear of the servant to the high priest. And I think a lot of us can really identify with this part of Peter's story. There may be so much about yourself, about your past, that you wish you could change. I'm willing to bet that at the moment of his final denial, when the rooster crowed, Peter wished that his story had ended back there in the garden. His hopes had been crushed on the cross, and his own life had reached a dead end. But Jesus, we know, on Easter, defeated death and pursued Peter and restored his hope and his faith and his courage. So we hear the angel, the messenger in the empty tomb on Easter morning. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. So in today's reading from Acts, which Nate read for us, we find Peter standing in the midst of the very people that he ran from before. defending the fact that he helped a person in need. He healed somebody. And all the powers of the state are there. And the religious elite are there. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all were of the high priestly family. And when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" "Stand, Simon Peter," those in control demanded. And this would be a time for Peter to tread carefully. If your instincts told you to deny being associated, even knowing Jesus, to a servant girl next to a campfire out in the courtyard, now you're in the belly of the beast. Watch what you say. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed," listen to how Peter gets started. He begins by throwing shade. "You dragged me out here because we helped someone out? This man's well-being, his healing, has you all worked up?" But we're thinking, tone it down, Peter. These guys don't mess around. Look what they did to Jesus. But Peter continues, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Holy cow, Peter. You just tied yourself to the one that they tried to do away with altogether. You followed your not so subtle jab at their lack of compassion with the proclamation of Jesus as the Christ. You better stop digging, Peter. Apologize. Beg for mercy. Do something before it's too late now. "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified." Peter, are you out of your mind? Run for your life. These are the guys with the crosses. "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." What happened to Peter after his denials that he even knew Jesus, before the rooster crowed, and where he stands now? What happened? Easter. Resurrection. Yes, Peter's preaching could potentially get him sentenced to die, but death no longer has the final say, and Peter knows it. Maybe you have come to believe that some sadness, some loss, some sin maybe, has come to define your story. We can find ourselves in such a deep and dark valley that we don't feel reachable by anyone or anything. Often because we simply don't think we deserve any grace. The gospel has never been about what you deserve. The 23rd Psalm reminds us that in the darkest valley, God will radof, God will pursue us and find us there. when we are so lost that we don't even know where we are, God will pursue us and find us there. God's goodness and God's mercy are always hot on our trail, and the Lord is always looking to lead us beside still waters. The waters that flow over us in our baptisms, the waters that make us part of a community, the community of faith in Christ. May this gospel find you now. May this good shepherd lead you now beside the still waters. All of us. Easter, resurrection, death no longer has the final say. This is why we call it gospel. It's good news, and it is for you. Amen. So we have been fed and forgiven. And as we came forward, no, I trust that nobody asked you how you behaved all week. Are you worthy of this grace now given? They simply said, this is the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. And Jesus told us why, for the forgiveness of their sin. So that's who we are in this room, and who we will be out in the world as we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.